Welcome to the Maria Heller Show, the internet's original podcast. Since the year 2000, always ahead of the curve, always on your side. A true warrior for truth and justice, Maria and her guests leave nothing out, and no one is off limits. There is only one truth, the rest is lies. Sit back, enjoy the education with a true daughter of Mother Earth. Sharp New York wit, spiritual knowing, and a very dry sense of humor, Maria will dissect the news and lies to make it all palatable. Education is power. Maria delivers rapid-fire truth like no one else can. Here she is, the mouth that roars, the legendary Maria Heller.
Good morning, world. Welcome to Roaring Truth. Maria Heller here, alive and kicking with my excellent co-host, Professor Jim Fetzer. Good morning, Jim.
Hey, Maria. There's so much going on in the world. It's a wonder. We'll only be able to touch the tip of the iceberg today, alas.
Well, I mean, you know, I thought I'd make a list of 20 questions and just ask you to say yes and no.
But I don't.
I mean, it's overwhelming, Jim. You know, I wake up this morning and I dread turning my computer on to see the 10 big stories that happened while I was sleeping. It's really, it's almost like a psychological operation on all of us, because we, no one I know, and I could think myself pretty fast thinking, can keep up with all the crap that's coming out every day.
I know. And now we have Rex Tillerson off to the Middle East to try to forge an alliance against Iran by joining Saudi Arabia together with Iraq, which is highly unlikely to play out. But it's clear that Trump is nothing but a puppet of Netanyahu, Maria. It's never been more obvious. Russia and the Iranians have wiped out ISIS, and Trump tries to take credit as though this was due to the United States, when in fact we were supporting the rebels. We gave them weapons from Gaddafi's arsenal. Right. Hillary took out Chris Stevens at Benghazi because he didn't think it was a good idea. She told the general in a position to come to his aid. They'd already been evacuated. Now she's getting her comeuppance over this Russia deal, Maria, and it's amazing, amazing stuff.
Well, that's the other thing. Listen, I covered Hillary more years than I wanted to. If the Democrats were smart, they would tell her to stay home and never show a face in public. They made the biggest mistake ever putting her up for the presidency. They made their bigger mistake when they threatened Bernie Sanders, because nobody's going to tell me different. And I'm like, the Democrats have done absolutely nothing to stop the madness. They've done nothing. They sit on their hands. They voted for the $700 billion military budget, just like the GOP. And on it goes. But, you know, talking about Benghazi, which we all covered to death, what do you think about Niger being Trump's Benghazi?
Well, this is pretty bad, that deal. In fact, you know, the widow is complaining she's not even being allowed to see her husband's body. Now, they may very well have tortured him, cut off body parts and the like. Mm. I wouldn't be surprised. He got special treatment because he was black and the other American soldiers were white. So since these were Africans who were black themselves, they may have felt he was especially deserving of cruel and unusual punishment. But Trump has bumbled it again and again. He didn't even know the soldier's name when he was speaking to his wife. Now there's a complaint about others were listening into the conversation when it was on speakerphone at both ends, Maria. I mean, this guy puts his foot in the mouth again and again and again. It's embarrassing. I no longer have any confidence in him at all. I believe, in fact, that the 25th Amendment is actually going to be invoked to remove him from office.
I agree. I'm like, what are they waiting for? I mean, every day something horrific and ridiculously stupid comes out of his mouth. He's like an errant five-year-old kid that you're trying to time out. You know, when my granddaughter was younger, she's got quite the personality, Jim. Say she was two or three, she was still in diapers. And my daughter's, you know, thing of punishment was to time them out. Just tell them they're in timeout and they had to stand in the corner for a few minutes. But let me tell you something. On her way to that corner, she would strip off all her clothes, Jim, and just stand there with her arms crossed and her diaper on. just in an act of defiance. And I have to tell you that I had to go in the next room so I could laugh because I didn't want to laugh in front of her.
That's pretty hilarious.
It's hilarious. And I told my daughter, I says, you can never break this kid's spirit. This is what's going to get her through life in this ugly world. You know, I mean, I was open to punishing her, but I was cracking up. I had to walk out of the room.
Yeah.
You know, and today she's, you know, she's a very independent young woman and she doesn't take any crap off anybody. And I'm glad for that. I mean, it was hard raising it. You know what I mean? And when I look at Trump, all I can see is him walking to the corner, stripping off his clothes like the emperor has no clothes. Because if you see when he's defending himself, he's always got his arms crossed like an errant child. And I don't know how people don't see it, because all I can think of when I look at him is that two-year-old kid in the corner. You know, I can honestly say, look, I never liked any president since Kennedy, all right? But I have to say, I've never seen a president as insane and baby-like as this man.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Bob Corker, yes. Who I'm no fan. I mean, you look at the GOP, they're tearing him to pieces, at least some of them. But Bob Corker said that by the time this guy's done, he would have totally debased our nation. And I can't disagree with that. And then how does he respond to Bob Corker? He says the guy's not, he couldn't get elected to be a dog catcher. So it's tit for tat. Did you ever see such a rude and crude and lewd president?
Yeah, I know. It's unbelievable.
It's sickening to me. And at the same time, you know, we're on the move towards war and nobody's paying attention to that. You know, you remember how many times Trump said during his campaign, you know, if we have nukes, why can't we use them?
I know. The man is insane.
Well, I try to warn people, but nobody wanted to listen. But, well, I guess when the Japanese, was it the Japanese? No, I think it was the North Koreans called him a dotard. They were right. But I think he's beyond that. And I don't understand. You got the whole Congress. Not a one of them is talking about the 25th Amendment. He's obviously unqualified for the job. He's got something wrong with him. He's got a couple of screws loose in his head. And yet there he is. They still parade him out.
I think the cabinet would be ready to vote, but of course it has to be confirmed by the Congress. And therefore, you know, I think the reports I've heard, Maria, they're waiting for the tax bill to be passed, and then they'll consider dumping Trump.
Yeah, but they said yesterday, because he told them he had better have it on his desk or then they shouldn't go home for Thanksgiving. And they said, we'd be lucky to figure something out by Christmas. So, I mean, I've never seen such foobar in our government, so in our face. I mean, it's probably always been there, but not in our face like this. And yet he still has people that are rah-rah, sis-boom-barring him. I just don't understand. Are they not paying attention?
Well, they're listening to the mainstream media, which is suffocating all the serious truth and substituting nothing but fake news. And they've been doing it for so long. And most American working families are having to expend so much time and effort keeping food on the table, a roof over their heads. They get their news in sound bites. When they hear the same reports from two or three of these networks, they think that those are independent confirmation. It never crosses their mind that they're all reading from the same script, which is controlled by the CIA and its Zionist allies to guarantee the American people are being spoon-fed what the deep state wants us to hear and see.
Right. Well, that's the other thing. You know, so many things. You know, when you talked about Trump being Netanyahu's puppet, I don't know if you saw the excellent article that Wayne Mattson wrote exactly about that. And here he is, you know, still doing Israel's bidding. And, you know, they get 20% of all our foreign aid, probably more, but that's what the statistics say.
I used to think that Wayne was our leading investigative journalist, but Maria, I've been disillusioned. He's been attacking me for my revelations about Sandy Hook, about the Boston bombing, even Las Vegas. I'm sorry to say that it appears to me now today that Wayne Manson is part of the controlled opposition himself, too.
I hope not. Although I will say it was still a good article, no matter how you looked at it.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, for me, I always pick and choose by what sounds real and what isn't. And so far,
I've cited it many times in the past. It's just that a friend who was a subscriber and participates in the chat room was just been given the boot for defending my research on Sandy Hook, for example, from Wade Manson's ill-founded attacks, which I find just profoundly discrediting of him as a truth seeker and a real journalist.
Well, look, there was absolutely nothing normal about what happened in Las Vegas. There was nothing normal to what's still happening from the after effects of the fake hurricanes that God knows how they were manipulated or why. And especially the fires in California. I mean, where's Trump been on that? He hasn't even made one tweet about California, let alone give a damn. Which is normal, I suppose, since they didn't vote for him.
Well, let me address all of the above and add a couple others. The weird collisions of massive cargo ships that move very slowly with a couple of very sophisticated electronic warships of the United States off of the coast of Japan. The sonic attack on Cuba, which obviously wasn't done by the Cubans. They've been waiting over 50 years for a reconciliation with the United States. My suspicion, Maria, is that Bibi Netanyahu is very pissed off that we did not deliver Syria on a platter. That was the agenda which William Clark shared with us at the Commonwealth Club in San Francisco, the plan in the aftermath of 9/11 to take out the governments of seven countries in the next 5 years, beginning with Iraq and Libya, ending with Syria. And then Iran, it hasn't played out that way because of Russian and Iranian intervention. And now Israel, Bibi Netanyahu, who's under investigation, may regard this as the last hurrah, is punishing the United States in every way he can imagine. They have the technology to do it. They have vast sums of money. As Donald Rumsfeld announced the day before 9/11, $2.3 trillion was missing from the Pentagon budget when the chief financial officer for the Pentagon was a dual U.S.-Israeli citizen, also a rabbi, Dov Zakheim. You can imagine where all that money went. So they have these very sophisticated weapons. James McCanney and others have attested that the hurricanes were man-made. They were directed by lasers from space. They took out Houston, major oil refinery in the United States. Over 50 inches of rain, completely unprecedented. They destroyed Puerto Rico. They didn't quite do as much damage in Florida as expected. But listen, if I had to give a guess, this is a retaliation upon the United States. This is retribution. Remember, the God of the Old Testament says, vengeance is mine. These are very nasty people, and they have only ever regarded the United States as an asset to be deployed on behalf of Israel, whether it's our treasury, our military forces, the lives of our young men and women, they could care less. If it benefits Israel, they're happy about it. If it doesn't, they're not.
Right. Well, no argument out of me. And, you know, when I looked at the videos and I watched so many of the fires in California, it was evident that all I could think of were the photographs I saw in Judy Wood's book when I was looking at how, should we say, specific where the fire hit. You know, how do you burn down a whole neighborhood and the trees are still standing?
I know, I agree. And how do you melt parts of a car? I've never seen that before with any fire in California. I grew up in California. I paid attention to what happens there. There are too many of these fires, and they do appear to be the effects of some kind of aircraft-mounted directed energy weapon. I think in this case, that's what happened. They may have also been used in New York, although the primary modus operandi was a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes, which actually, Maria, had been refined in Israel after Cheney gave them hundreds of Davy Crockett warheads for these tactical recoilless rifles. And they reworked them, brought them back, according to one report, in a submarine to be arranged in the Twin Towers to blow it sections at a time to simulate a collapse. But since there was nothing left in the footprint, we know it was far more destructive than that. It was demolishing, you know, 50, 60,000 tons of steel was vaporized through these vast molten metal pools from 9/11 until December. That required incredible temperatures to produce. There's no way any kind of collapse or jet fuel fires could have done any of that. In fact, those fires didn't burn long enough or hot enough to even weaken the steel, because those structures are enormous heat sinks. You try to heat up one part of the steel, Maria, and it dissipates throughout the entire structure. So the whole official government account was a fantasy from beginning to end.
Right. Well, you know, that reminds me, when Fukushima first happened, the only person at that time that was saying that Israel was connected and that it was a mini nuke was David Icke. And I remembered, I don't remember exactly what it was, but I know Japan had just recently won something at the UN that pissed Israel off. I don't recall what it was because my head is filled with too many more facts and figures. But I don't doubt that that was done there too. And when you look at California and these areas where the floods were, I tell my listeners, we have to wait and see who benefits, who's going in and going to buy all that prime land now. That it's all been burnt out, except, of course, for the trees and the grapes. The grapes seem to stay on the grapevines, too, which is pretty interesting. But you and I have talked about these weapons they have that can literally just kill people and not take out any buildings or anything else. So who's to say
that... They were experimenting with them in Iraq, Maria. They were vaporizing automobiles full of human beings and reducing them to ash instantaneously.
Well, doesn't that remind you of the Philadelphia experiment based on Tesla's stuff all the way back when? Don't you think they've perfected those weapons now?
Yes. It's all so very bizarre, but it looks as though truth is stranger than fiction.
That's for sure. And, you know, I do get notes from some of my listeners sometimes. They say, God, listening to your show has really woken me up. It's been painful, but I'm so glad because at least I woke up. Because, you know, if we were having this conversation in mixed company at a party or something, people would look at us like we're crazy because nobody wants to pay attention. You know, and I keep telling people, I was talking to one of my friends before the show, and I says, look, you got to stop paying attention to all the distraction and bullshit coming out of Trump. He's the things you got to pay attention to, you know, getting ready for nuclear war. You know, I don't know if you caught it because I know how busy we both are. But this week, the woman in charge of Homeland Insecurity said that we're going to have another 9/11 style attack involving planes. And it's going to be bigger than 9/11.
And the only way she could know that is if she's involved in the planning.
Exactly. I always say, who calls it, creates it. That's the way I've now become. Who calls it, creates it. But, you know, I don't know if you saw the video, and I saw a similar video out of Portugal and Spain, which are also on fire, of the tree that was burning from the inside out. I don't know if you got to see that. Now, I got to tell you, I've been alive a long time, Jim. Never saw anything like it.
Alternative explanation for that that's not necessarily as disturbing as what may in fact be the case, to wit that there are trees there that are dried out from the inside out, and therefore the wood inside is actually more vulnerable to fire than their bark and exterior.
It sure does
look on its face like the effect of something from a laser-directed energy weapon.
Let me tell you something, Jim. I have a wood-burning stove in my house, and I have, you know, I have the wood delivered. It's usually aged wood. It's at least a year old or two. Okay. It takes forever for me to light one freaking log, okay? And every time I do that, I say to myself, how does a forest burn? Okay, I can't even get this one piece of wood to catch fire. So to see trees burning from the inside, and I saw a similar video out of Portugal. I mean, these are better special effects than I've ever seen in movie theaters. So, you know, yeah. I if people want to buy that story that the tree burns from the inside out, great. Then those are the same people that believed Area 51 was just a weather balloon.
Yeah.
But that, you know, we never even got into that. And, you know, the stuff our government hides from us from, you know, whatever beings or creatures are out there. Meanwhile, 8,400 homes burned in California in a place where there's already no housing. Where are those people supposed to go?
Right.
You know, you look at Puerto Rico. Puerto Rico, they're saying they may not have power till December. And we have a president who doesn't realize Puerto Rico is a U.S. territory and those are Americans. Look what he started with that mayor. It seems that he has no problem attacking women. Women of any color.
And we're talking about the Donald.
Right, exactly. You know, well, Puerto Rico can't expect us to be there forever. And then he tells Texas, if you want relief, FEMA's telling some towns in Texas, if you want relief, you can't ever boycott Israel. What kind of bullshit is that?
Isn't that disgusting? You see, I take that as confirmation that Israel's behind it. They apply a pressure in order to manipulate the American people. I mean, it's a form of, in this case, weather terrorism. It's absolutely outrageous. We have to reject the yoke of Zionism. This is killing the people of the United States. It's now literally burning their homes, destroying their homes, vast floods, using sonic weapons to disrupt relations with Cuba so we won't feel that we can reconcile with a communist nation and thereby, you know, improve our relations with Russia. There's only one country that stands to benefit from all these events, Maria, and it's that little country in the Middle East we call our gallant ally.
Right, the gallant ally that got Trump to decertify the Iranian deal. You know they want war with Iran and they want us to fight it. I don't want to fight their wars.
No, that's a bottom line for me. I repudiated Trump when he went that direction. It was disgusting. Iran is a peace-loving nation, hasn't launched a war of aggression against another state since 1775, Maria. The ratification of the Constitution only began in 1787. George Washington elected in 1789. For longer than the United States has existed as a constitutional republic, Iran has not attacked any other nation. Would that could be said of the United States itself.
Right. So do you think that Israel has a part in us going against North Korea and all the crazy things that Trump has said about North Korea, Rocket Man, etc.?
Highly probable, but, you know, it's so you know, Bibi Netanyahu, after he gave that absurd speech at the United Nations threatening genocide to annihilate an entire nation, which is a clear violation of the United Nations Charter, Netanyahu was congratulating himself for a bold and courageous statement. I mean, this is lunacy.
Well, when Trump said similar things about North Korea at the UN, he was basically threatening genocide. How is it that nobody gets arrested when they make these threats? Nothing happens. I mean, this guy's better than Teflon Don, and I thought Gotti was good.
Well, no, it's remarkable. There have also been assassination threats against Trump that, so far as I know, have gone completely uninvestigated. There ought to have been massive public condemnation of those kinds of threats. I mean, it's just stunning what's been going on here.
What about the death threats against that black congresswoman that was with the soldier's widow in the car? I mean, they did arrest one man today because he really put up a terrible threat against her, looking for someone with 10 horses and some rope to hang her and this and that. But he did get arrested today.
I've never seen anything
like it. Look at the guy, Pruitt, over at the EPA. He had to add another 12 bodyguards. Do you ever remember a cabinet having to have so many bodyguards and protections outside of this world-hating, environmental-hating Congress that we have in place now, or cabinet?
No, it's really stunning, isn't it?
I mean, it's costing us a fortune just to protect these people that nobody wants in office to begin with. You know? All right, let's change the subject. Let's back up a little bit. George W. Bush is out reinventing history, okay? That's the only thing I can see, is he's trying to reinvent his own history and make himself look good before he dies. Okay, I don't know if you caught his speech this week, if you caught him laughing like a moron, like he always did at the Five Presidents fundraiser. He's smirking and laughing like a five-year-old, no matter who was talking, especially when Jimmy Carter was talking. And I said, nothing's changed, but now he's putting himself out there to make himself look like a hero.
But he was always incompetent. The guy's a nitwit. He's a dim bulb. And you know, it's embarrassing to have him out there giving a, you know, obviously a ghostwritten speech to try to embarrass Trump. But the Bushes hate the Donald because he executed a hostile takeover of the GOP. He denied their preferred candidate, brother Jeb, the nomination, but Jeb had proven to be completely inept as a presidential candidate. I mean, every time he spoke, although he was a good-looking guy, he did not have a presence. He didn't come across as a serious person. And, you know, that was a great thing about Trump, how he was able to manage the campaign, but I'm getting, you know, vibes that Hillary wanted to run against Trump. She thought he'd be the easiest one to beat. Mm. And to pick back up on the point you made before, the Democratic National Party hadn't sabotaged the campaign of Bernie Sanders, I believe Bernie would have beaten Trump because the great attraction to Trump was that he was coming across as a non-interventionist, even though many disagreed with his attitude towards social programs. It was so important to end the wars in the Middle East that they judged him less likely than Hillary to continue them. With Bernie, not only would have been more clear-cut about it, but his appeal in terms of the social agenda would have been overwhelmingly greater.
Absolutely.
So they shot themselves in the foot, and the corruption of Debbie Wasserman Schultz and these special IT guys from Pakistan is now coming back to bite them. This is serious stuff, and the enormity of what happened here is gradually dawning upon the American people.
Well, it's like, well, what are the American people going to end up doing about it? We've had no representation for so many years. And now you get so many people, and this is why this last election is the reason I'm not going to ever vote again. Although I keep reminding people, you know, don't ever think for 1 minute that the rich are going to allow you to vote away their power. It's just never going to happen.
Well, you're a grim realist, you know, and that's why we love you. You don't mince any words. You call it like it is. And the fact is, you're right on target time after time after time. And that's a bit unnerving to the population that still wants to believe the government is a mountain of integrity, that it wants to benefit and protect the American people and nurture us. Because it's never been the case. If it ever was, maybe in the early stages of the Republic, maybe for the first 50 years. But there's even doubts about that.
Right, right. Well, you know, now everybody's all, oh, if you're unhappy with this administration, remember to vote in 2018. If our votes made a difference with Congress, we wouldn't have the same people in Congress for 40 years. Don't people understand that? What's Congress is in the single digits as far as approval, yet they always win their seat. People don't understand that your vote doesn't mean anything. To me, I tell people voting is an act of public masturbation.
I think George Carlin said that if voting made a difference, they wouldn't let us do it.
Well, that's the truth of it. So a lot of times when I see those posts, I think about the Collier brothers who exposed voting scandals in the 70s. And they had that one line in the book that stuck out in my head forever. And they said, you can't vote the bastards out because you didn't vote the bastards in.
Yeah, nice.
And what's really changed since then? You know, whether it was Russian interference, whether it was social media psychosis, what about, you know, how hard they make, you know, voter suppression? Nobody's talking about it. He's got Chris Korbach on his Election Integrity Commission, who's the king of cross-checking, of eliminating people from the rolls. I mean, you know, this is the kind of work the Collier brothers have done. Greg Palast, you know, his book, The Best Democracy Money Can Buy. How much more do people need to wake up? You know, one vote, it should be a paper vote. The paper vote should be counted on TV by boys and girls. And I don't care how long it takes, where everybody can see it happening.
I like that. I like that. Boys and girls, that's a wonderful thought.
Right. I mean, children have more sense. I saw Melania Trump had the nerve to show up at a school to teach about anti-bullying. And the kids the kids in the classroom just were rolling their eyes like, are you kidding us or what? You're married to the biggest bully on earth.
Did you pick up that Don was out with a body double for Melania? He even had to say, you know, it's Melania and I think, and of course I'm here with my wife Melania, which you'd never say if it actually were Melania, but he thought he had to say it to reinforce, which gave away what was going on. It was not Melania. I mean,
right.
This is very embarrassing.
Well, listen, we know that they all use doubles. You and I, how many times do we have to cover that was not Saddam Hussein that came out of that hole in the ground? That was one of his body doubles. Okay.
Sure.
I mean, don't people realize that, you know, yeah, she probably is so sick of him and sick of, you know, the slings and arrows. Why would she even want to be next to him? So it makes sense she would have a double. But people were saying, oh, this is a fake, this is a fake. And I said, but Melania's a fake too. Okay, nothing about her is real. You know, some woman spent, I don't know, $30,000 to get plastic surgery to look like Melania. And when I looked at that, I said, why didn't she just use the same surgeon Melania used? Do you know what I mean? But whether she's real or fake, who cares? Okay, she has no control over her husband. She's a hypocrite like him. And she's going to teach children about anti-bullying when we have no role model in place for our children. How do you explain Trump to your children and the things he does and says? You can't. You know, it's not like looking up to Jack Kennedy. You know what I mean? We had heroes in our day. We're looking at the biggest baby morons in the world, and they're in charge of running this country. That's pretty frightening.
It's almost impossible to believe, but that's where we are today, right here in the USA.
I know. And when we talk about it, we're the crazy ones. Anyway, Jim, we've got to take a break. Stay with us. Jim and I will be right back.
She's been called Paula Revere, the mother of the internet and even a legend. The mouth that roars all truth without any input from corporate, religious, or political affiliations. Rhea's in it just like you are. Often imitated but never duplicated. Commercial-free talk providing a real education in a world filled with lies, cover-ups, and propaganda. Subscribe now and encourage your friends to do the same. Feel good about supporting real media that supports you and all life on this planet. Pick a subscription of your choice and get started on the journey down the rabbit hole. If you are financially challenged or a senior on a limited income, please send an email to maria@maria.net and she will work something out for you. There's never been a more dangerous or exciting time to be alive. Education is a necessity now. Stay informed. Subscribe today at www.meria.net.
Welcome back to Roaring Truth with myself and Jim Fetzer. Jim's got a great blog. I put the blog spot right here. There's a link so you can go through it. I'd especially like you to read Jim's latest piece. And just for a little tantalizer, it's about the Jeff Rentz show. Okay, Jim. God, there's so many things. Is it Tuesday? You remember that old movie, If It's Tuesday, It Must Be Belgium? Where people are traveling around the world so much they don't even know where they are or what day of the week it is. That's kind of the world where we're living in now, or it's a mad, mad world. Las Vegas. Okay. I got to tell you, I don't watch the Ellen show. There's something about her I just never liked. Nothing personal. It's not because she's gay or anything else. But it's just too stupid. I just can't watch it. When I saw the supposed guard on the, I did watch it on YouTube. I said to myself, if this is inscripted bullshit, I don't know what I'm looking at. And it didn't really look like the same guy to me. Was I crazy?
You're 100% right. It was not the same guy. This is some body double. He's 30 to 50 pounds heavier. He has a rounder, fatter face. He was very nervous. turns out the original, this Jesus Campos, who's supposed to be a security guard in Las Vegas, is not on the registry. In the state, they require security guards to be registered, but you check, and Jesus Campos, he isn't there. He was standing by to do five interviews that were going to be national, one with Sean Hannity when he disappeared.
Right.
The authorities claim they can't find him, and the next thing we know, he turns up on the Ellen DeGeneres show. You, I am sure, are aware that the owner of the MGM, which owns the Mandalay Bay, had sold off 80% of his stock before the event.
Right.
In anticipation, the stock would drop, and then he could buy it back up at a huge benefit. George Soros placed a $41 million short on the MGM in Mandalay Bay, which gets him a lot of money if its stock drops. We got a guy on 4chan weeks in advance explaining exactly what's going to happen and how they're going to move to have these body scanners put in all the casinos and hotels, where Sheldon Adelson will be among the first to promote it. And then they're going to move to have them in all the schools, churches, and other buildings in the country, making fantastic sums of money over a fabricated excuse. I mean, it's as phony as can be.
Right.
Michael Chertoff was behind the installation of body scanners in our airports, which are completely outrageous, totally unnecessary. There were no Islamic terrorists who commandeered those planes and caused them to crash. Maria, I've done so much work on this.
Right.
I mean, it drives me up the wall that all these actions have been taken on a completely phony, fabricated event. But
that's what I'm saying. It's always the problem, reaction, solution. So even with the fires, hurricanes, whatever, shootings, I always tell my audience, we have to wait a week or two. Then we'll see who benefits. Then you'll know who was behind it.
Well, let me give you a couple of clues, too, because The official narrative previously had been that Campos had gone to the room to check an open door alert in another guest room, and that he interfered with Paddock doing the shooting, which caused him to stop shooting and fire a shot into Campos in the leg, apparently through the door. But one of the blunders here is the door shows no signs of any shots having been fired through it. But they changed the script. Now they claim that Campos showed up early, that he was there before Paddock began shooting, and that Paddock fired 200 rounds down the hallway at Campos, leading to his leg injury. But, Maria, can you imagine any luxury hotel where someone could fire 200 rounds with an automatic weapon in a hallway and no one would notice?
Right. Well, did you also look at the stories that he was actually there, kind of like a Fast and Furious, trying to make a arms sale on behalf of the CIA?
Yeah, but before we go there, get this. So when Campos goes on Ellen, he gives the original version that he showed up before the shooting. I mean, that he showed up at the end of the shooting. He hasn't got the word that they changed the script, so he's given the old original story.
Right.
Not only that, but MGM owns the Ellen DeGeneres show.
Right.
So, you know, they're controlling this, they're manipulating. There didn't appear to be any audience there. She was trying to make it out to be a very emotional event, but they never panned to the audience to show, you know, that there was a real, genuine audience reaction. And you won't believe this, Maria. One of my correspondents sent me photographs showing that Jesus Campos looks just like the husband of the couple in San Bernardino who are supposed to be terrorists. And I'm looking at their photos right now, and he does look virtually indistinguishable, except that Campos' glasses have rims, and the terrorist's glasses had no rims. When the shootout took place with the vehicle, many noticed that the body of the vehicle wasn't harmed by any bullet holes. Apparently, they didn't want to have to spend money on the bodywork to sell it as a used car. The windows appear to be shot out, but they have these new kinds of stickers you can put on the windows that make them look like bullet holes. When it came to a halt, and it, by the way, it seems to have been being controlled remotely, her body fell out and her hands were tied behind her back. In addition, when we did close-ups, it turned out to be a mannequin. We even have the Craigslist ad for San Bernardino, which was talking about good pay, transportation, refreshment, some speaking roles, call date December 1st, going live December 2nd. And in Las Vegas, 15 days before the event, we had crowds on demand that was soliciting crisis actors for an event in Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. I believe they were distributed through the crowd, and that, you know, I have experts who I've featured on my show analyzing the soundtrack using sophisticated audio equipment to find that it appears to have been a pre-recorded soundtrack of real firing. You can even hear bullets hitting the ground that was played over the PA system in anticipation it would be picked up by cell phones and laptops and other devices. They made it too good to be real. It's too loud. It comes through as extremely high quality, 24-bit. Mm-hmm. Then they have visual effects that appear to be machine gun firing on the fourth floor in the middle of the hotel, three-shot sequences being fired from floors above, which is typical of American standard military equipment today. They had, there's another video where a fellow who appears to be dressed as a police officer turns and starts firing in the crowd. But you see a flash of light. There's no sign of real bullets here, Maria. I have one of my correspondents who's gone through 33 of these videos, and she finds lots of sounds of bullets, but no signs of any real bullets. Paul Craig Roberts was contacted by a military surgeon of a great deal of experience who reviewed the videos of the patients in the hospital and confirmed they're all actors. None of their wounds are real. An American trauma surgeon also wrote to him confirming and observing, for example, this is one of 9 points he made. They're not even connected to the equipment that would be necessary to maintain and monitor them if they were real bona fide patients. I mean, it's a huge scam.
Well, you know, listen, you know, Boston bombings was a good, precursor or a test case for what they're perfecting with every one of these things. Now, do you think that Paddock was a Manchurian candidate?
Well, Paddock, to me, is a mystery. They could make up anything they want about him. I'll tell you this. There's a photograph, several photographs inside the suite. 23 weapons is an absurd arsenal. He doesn't have 23 arms. He'd only want to have the one principal weapon he would be using to fire on the crowds. And so far as I can tell, no shots were fired from the 32nd floor. Just as in Dallas, no shots were fired from the alleged assassin's lair in the Texas School Book Depository. There are minimal shell casings distributed around the room where Scott Bennett, who's a former Army Intel and PsyOps officer, noticed that the shell casings were on top of the blood. They should have been under the blood because he presumably doesn't keep firing after he's blown his brains out. Mm. He also noticed that among the shell casings, which were very sparse, some were for blanks. They have a crimped nose for the blank, unlike a real cartridge, which is open because it's firing out a lead slug. And that some of them were CO2 cartridges that are shaped like torpedoes that are used for, you know, firing pellet guns and the like. In other words, the whole thing was staged in a recklessly incompetent fashion, probably because the people who are managing this, you know, from Hollywood, know all they need to do is get the general effect, not ever imagining in their wildest dreams there'd be such minute dissection as is taking place in this instance.
Right. Well, listen, it's like I've said for more decades than I care to say. Once they see that people fall for the same MO, they have no reason to change it, which of course makes it easier for us to see through the bullshit, but the majority of people don't know that. What about that 28-year-old girl that witnessed it? She was on the ground, people on the ground shooting at other people. She posts the information, whatnot, and the next day she dies in her sleep and they tell us that it was natural causes. Now, I don't know, I'm not a doctor, but I would think natural causes at 28, there's nothing natural about dying at 28.
Oh, Maria, it's ridiculous. I mean, the CIA has many techniques, can make a death appear to be natural when it's induced. She seems to be a threat to the official narrative because she's talking about multiple shooters, but we have video evidence of firing from multiple scenes.
I know, I've seen them. I've watched the videos.
Right,
people on the ground firing. You can't miss it. You have to be blind not to see it.
Right. My take is these are visual special effects, but the fact is they confirmed firing from at least three locations. Mm-hmm. Mike Adams, the health ranger, studied this audio tape and concluded there was evidence there of firing from at least two different locations. I don't fault him for his analysis, except that he didn't realize the tape was pre-recorded. He wasn't dealing with authentic, real-time evidence from the scene of the event,
right,
but rather something was carefully contrived. This was a theatrical production, Maria. The short take is it was a movie. It had a director, special video effects, special audio effects. I mean, the whole thing was contrived. We even have photographs of a funeral home bringing bodies to the scene. And we have a report now of 17 ambulances pulling out of the Hooters, which appears to have been a staging area. Mm-hmm. These weren't people who died at Hooters. These were bodies that were brought to Hooters to be presented as though they were real deaths.
Well, they also said that there were shootings at two other hotels at the same time. I believe the Bellagio was one of them.
Three or four, actually. The Bellagio, right. The Flamingo, New York, New York. There
right,
was a
and then they just quashed those stories like they never happened.
Well, this is why when the sheriff began talking about it, he said, you know, he found it hard to believe one person could have been responsible for all this. Then he was gagged.
Right.
Now the sheriff can only read from a script. They won't let him say anything else.
All right.
Get this too, Maria. I have a collaborator who's been studying the obituaries and death notices that appeared in USA Today for the, 59 victims.
Uh-huh.
And she has found for 33 of the 59 that they were building on other people who had died, some in other states, some on other dates, and from different causes, as though they had died in Las Vegas. She's also found they're using high-tech techniques, you know, photoshopping techniques.
Uh-huh.
They use the same person's face to impersonate several different victims. It's stunning stuff. I'll be putting that up on my blog later today.
So let me ask you this. What do you think the agenda was for that? Was
well,
it just
one,
distraction?
Money, you know, number one, to make money for the big-time players. Number two, to get the scanning machines in and make billions. Number three, to promote the gun control agenda. Number four, to make the American people feel they're unsafe everywhere they go, which gives them a predisposition to depend on the government more so it can enhance the national security state with more surveillance equipment and machines. It turns out that all the efforts to promote gun control are failing abysmally. I mean, the whole agenda is absurd if you think about it. Passing laws only takes weapons away from law-abiding citizens. It won't
right.
take them away from criminals. They're criminals because they violate the law.
Right.
The NRA had it right way back when they observed when guns are outlawed, only outlaws will have guns. It means the communities become gun-free zones. With the book Nobody Died at Sandy Hook, which has 13 contributors, including six current or retired PhD professors, where we demonstrate that the school was closed by 2008. It was loaded with asbestos and other biohazard, damaged by hurricane. There was a huge flood in the area in 2007, which appears to be the last straw. So they abandoned. There were no students there. We not only have the FEMA manual for the event, which was a two-day FEMA exercise with a rehearsal on the 13th going live on the 14th, but I put it in the book, in the PDF, which I released for free when Amazon banned the book after it had been up for less than a month, but had sold nearly 500 copies. And you can find not only the FEMA manual as Appendix A, but Appendix D is a study about the relationship between gun control and homicide, where it turns out when you ban guns, the crime rate, the homicide rate goes up.
Right. Well, I always remember what you said on the show years ago. When they come for your guns, that's the time to use them.
Right, that's right.
And I was saying to myself when that happened, I said, everybody, for 8 years, Obama's coming for your guns, Obama's coming for your guns. But I've never seen people trying to come for your guns like now, which is now getting the left to arm themselves against some upcoming war against the right, and the right is arming themselves, and people don't understand that they're being led like sheep to destroy each other, as you and I discussed on our last show. where America is imploding from being destroyed from the inside out.
Right. It is. And it appears to me that Israel has declared war on the United States and that we're seeing multiple manifestations. And the fact that now to get hurricane relief in Texas, you have to declare you're not going to boycott Israel. My God, what a huge red flag is that?
What kind of crap is that? Well, I read yesterday that they're trying to blame the fires in California on a member of ISIS. Okay? It's kind of like, I remember at one point, they were blaming Las Vegas on ISIS. I mean, what did they just throw that out there and whenever they feel like it?
Well, this is bizarre because I was, of course, elaborating all these themes here for weeks now. I did a two-hour with Kerry Cassidy on Project Camelot with Scott Bennett about the events in Las Vegas. This was on the Tuesday the 17th. On Wednesday the 18th, I was on the third hour on the Power Hour. People said I hit it out of the park. On Thursday on my show, The Raw Deal, which is a two-hour show, I had this audio expert explaining how he had been studying the audio tape and that it had been pre-recorded that was too good to be true. And the woman who's studying, you know, the obituaries and finding these were for people who died at different times in different places from different causes. And at the end of that show, I got a message from Jeff Rentz that he was firing me from the program, which is simply absurd, Maria, because I'd already notified him that I and Scott would be leaving on the 1st of November. So on the 19th of October, he fires me. And when I publicized that Rentz had fired me, he put up an announcement that I was lying because I'd already resigned, where he'd edited the emails where I was, as a professional courtesy, giving him a heads up that Scott and I would be leaving so he could plan to replace us on the 1st of November. And he edited the email. So now I publish the whole email. And think about the absurdity of this. He's claiming I resigned and that he didn't fire me, but my resignation was effective on 1 November. And he gave me the boot on 19 October. How can he think anyone's going to swallow this kind of happy horseshit?
Well, listen, he's not a show I've ever recommended any more than I would recommend anybody with a brain listen to Alex Jones. So I'm not surprised when you come out with one story that's against whoever might be paying them their big bucks to stay on the air. Thank God I'm poor and nobody pays me. I'm not surprised by it, but, you know, you live and learn. And people, I've told people for years, they have to be discerning who they listen to, what they read, even what movies you watch. So it really, you know, it's a sad thing, but for you, it's probably a better thing because I've never given that station or Alex Jones any credibility, never will. But what you were talking about before, because we only have a minute left, Jim, I want to mention this to people that they are also looking for casualty role players from October 30th until the 2nd of November in Oklahoma, Louisiana. So you people better be a heads up, because whenever they put these ads out, some shit follows. And all I could think of is the Homeland Security saying we're going to have another 9/11. You know, Trump has to legitimize himself like Bush did. So I don't put anything past these people.
Yeah. Well, let me just add, by the way, for listeners who may want to know, we're moving to Revolution Radio, Studio B, Scott's show, the Shell Games will be there on Wednesday and Friday. My show, The Raw Deal, will be there Tuesday and Thursday. Dave Gaharry and Phil Torney, who is actually a survivor, will be doing the USS Liberty on Monday. It's all the same time slot, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern. So check it out, beginning on the 1st of November, will be on Revolution Radio, which, may I say, I've already discovered has a substantial staff and is run in a far more professional manner than I ever experienced with Rentz, who had one or two people working for him. They got a whole staff at Revolution Radio.
Well, good. And aren't you still on Progressive Radio, Gary Null's station?
Yes, I am. Yes. Okay. Wednesday night, The Conspiracy Guy. 9 p.m. Eastern, yes, for 1 hour, 9 to 10. And you can find the archives at conspiracyguide.podbean.com.
Okay, well, good. Yeah, and just a reminder, if some of my new listeners don't know, that Gary Knowles Network also re-airs what I call my best show of the week on Sundays at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. So, you know, him I trust. So I have no problem giving him some of my material. But the rest of the people, yeah, not so much. Jim, thanks so much. I'm looking forward, in a way, to our next talk, if we're all still here. So you have yourself a good month until I talk to you.
Thanks, Maria. Just terrific. Always a pleasure.
Thank you. Take care, Jim. Okay, there you have it. I think I kind of like what he called me. What did he call me? The grim realist. I'm not a grim person, but the news is grim, and I got to give it to you the way I see it. But always stick with what resonates to you. Do your own research. And again, thanks for supporting the show, and I'll see you guys most probably on Friday. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening and supporting The Maria Show. Tell others what you learned today. Knowledge becomes wisdom only when it's shared. Encourage others to subscribe today. www.maria.net. Often imitated, never duplicated. A world of information all in one place. www.maria.net. Always ahead of the curve. Always on your side. Get active or get radioactive. Subscribe today.